Come, O come, Emmanuel. God is with us. Amen. Our message today is based on that second lesson, that epistle lesson we heard earlier. Hear again our dear friend St. Paul's great words. Reminder words to us as we begin a new church year. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word of our God, we pray. Lord God, on this first Sunday of Advent, we humbly request that you certainly be with us this day in worship, and with us this whole season of Advent and for the church year to come. Once again, as this church year begins with this festive half, it reminds us of all the things you did to save us. And all that you did to save us remind us to bring you honor and praise and worship, and to have a heart full of joy. Or, as St. Paul reminds us twice, to rejoice always. Always a personal word, be with me now. Your word tells me that I will put my words in your mouth, and I humbly ask for that. As I take these words that I prepared and considered and memorized to deliver to your people, may they be words, as I often pray, that might instruct and inform and inspire your people, rightly pointing out sin and rightly pointing all of your people to the Savior from sin, Jesus Emmanuel. Bless us and our worship this day. Amen. Dear people of God, how good it is to be with you for another church year. In Jesus, our Savior. Mosquitoes. You heard me. Mosquitoes. Now, I know it's November 30th. I know there's a lot of snow on the ground. I know it's winter. And to start a sermon talking about mosquitoes? But you and I, when we think about mosquitoes, it's frustrating. Frustrating to think about mosquitoes. Because mosquitoes, they don't ever go to school. They don't ever have to learn stuff. They don't have to sit in a classroom to do what mosquitoes do. Mosquitoes do things instinctively. Right? They just know where you are. And they instinctively can smell that hot exhaust coming out of our nostrils, right? And they find some soft landing spot on our arms or back of our arms or in our thighs or our back. Those mosquitoes, nasty, aren't they? They come and they drill their little hole and they suck out their little blood. And after they've done that for a person or two, what happens? Maybe they get swatted, or they go lay some 10,000 eggs someplace, so there's a whole bunch more mosquitoes. Now, I'm talking about mosquitoes because they act by instinct. Think about our children. Think about you or me when we were younger. When we were younger, our brains were empty, basically. Everything we know, everything had to be learned. And if we think about what instincts we have, like mosquitoes, our mosquito-like instincts are towards sin. Our mosquito-like instincts are to do exactly the opposite of what God wants instead of what God does want. Many of us went to Christian Sunday school, Lutheran elementary schools, maybe even beyond, certainly regulars in church, to grow in our knowledge, to grow in our faith, to grow with that Holy Spirit who is in our hearts, to live for him who came for us. And as you and I think about those instincts that we have, I said sin, but you know, I think one of our great instincts we can summarize in one word, crabby. Our nature is to be crabby, to be cranky. Think about those children of Israel of old. God had taken them away from slavery in Egypt, done that great miracle, opened up the Red Sea, brought them on that way towards the promised land, fed them every day, gave them water, told them they're heading towards a land flowing with milk and honey, and God's people, crabby, cranky. They whined, they complained, they moaned, they griped. What a jip to be in this desert. That's me. That's you. Now, I talk about being crabby or cranky because it's the exact opposite of St. Paul. St. Paul reminds us here to rejoice in the Lord, and to rejoice in the Lord always. And he goes on to say, and again I will say, rejoice. Now, I have to tell you, years and years ago, reading Philippians, my wife and I consciously decided, we are going to hope and pray and ask God to help us have our lives, our Christian walk with the Lord, be characterized by joy. We purposely say out loud sometimes, we want to have joy in our journey. I'm standing here and I'm addressing you people because this, for the Lord, brings me great joy. Brings me great joy every Sunday to announce your sins are forgiven and to have God telling my heart also the same. You're paid for in full by the blood of the Lamb. And now we hear this verse of our God, these verses from Philippians chapter 4 today, because as we start out a church year, what's our attitude for this year going to be? Crampy, cranky, whining, complaining, moaning, or joy? And so we've chosen as our sermon theme, there it is on the screen, for this year ahead, may we have an attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude. Oftentimes, our attitude of life is to be selfish, self-centered, put me first, me-centric, rather than joy for my Savior, Jesus. Oh, as we think about these Philippian Christians, they rejoiced in the Lord always. When I think of Paul, I mentioned earlier when I was announcing the reading, Paul in prison. He could have been crabby. He could have been cranky. He could have turned to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm your great missionary. What do you got me to do sitting in jail, in prison, in the stocks, in the inner cell? Remember what Paul did? We're reading from Philippians. He found his joy in Jesus. There, when he was in jail in Philippi, remember what happened? God caused those shackles to come off of him, the doors to come open. He and his fellow missionaries could have walked or ran up right out. What'd they do? Remember that story? Philippians? They stayed. The jailer was about to kill himself, take his own life. But Paul, the one who wrote, rejoice in the Lord, always found his joy in Jesus. Shared Jesus that very night, and that jailer and his family all came to faith and all believed. And as he tells us to rejoice in the Lord always, that's not just a sometimes rejoicing, is it? That's not just a rejoicing when things are going well, when things are going good, when the boss is praising me or a task get done or that report card has a bunch of good grades. Rejoice in the Lord always. I misspoke a little bit when I talked about Philippians before. I missed that verse. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. In all circumstances, to give thanks to him. He says to rejoice. Why? Because Jesus died for you. Rejoice in the Lord always in this Advent season because Jesus came for you. As we start out this new church year, we are reminded that we are going to take that same annual pilgrimage through the first half of this church year. I remind young people in catechism class this first part of the church year, of these first 6 months from December through May, we're going to follow the life of Christ, all he did for us. Sometimes we remember the seven parts of that, what we call the festival half, with a couple of little words. Asleep, A-C-E-L-E-A-P, asleep. Advent, season we're in, he's coming, my Savior's coming. Christmas, come, our Savior came to be born, laying in that manger, his birth. Epiphany tells me about his life and ministry, A-C-E, Advent, Christmas, Epiphany. Then that leap part, Lent, he suffers and dies for me. E, Easter, he rises from the dead for me. Ascension, he returns to heaven to prepare a place for me. And Pentecost, he mightily sends his Holy Spirit into the hearts and lives of disciples. All that our Savior does for us, we're going to systematically review this year, as always. And we are going to rejoice in the Lord always. The Lord is near. We tried to highlight that a little bit with the children who were up here at the Lord's altar. The Lord is here. The Lord's near. Whenever I stand here, whenever I come into Trinity Church, as I said to the children, maybe you've been here for so many years, you forget how magnificent a place of worship this is. But the Lord is here. And that's what makes it a very special place, because it's God's house. And he reminds us also here in his word, not only is he here, but to let your gentleness be evident to all. So I think about that thought of being gentle. Gentleness is a learned behavior. That's not our instinctive behavior, to be kind, to be nice, to be gentle, to be helpful. And why? People will come to like us. They'll come to trust us. They'll come to rely on us. And as they come to trust us and rely on us and like us, we'll have opportunity to talk to them because they trust us, because we're helpful to them. And we can eventually, God willing, tell them about Jesus and about our church and about our Savior and about all that he has done for us. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And as we hear about the fact that the Lord is near, he's right there for us, helping us speak and share him. Because I want to remind us of something else as we start this Advent season, and those candles keep getting lit. This is a month, December, as it starts tomorrow, December, a month especially to be thinking about who do you know that doesn't know Jesus. Christmas is a time where even unbelievers come into the house of God. Invite them, encourage them, bring them to Christmas services, children's service on that third Sunday, Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, number of opportunities, a number of times to let them know about Jesus, because we have that attitude of gratitude. We are so thankful to our Savior for what he's done for us. He tells us something else in this business here in Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Don't be anxious about anything. Anxious reminds me of the word worry. And he says, don't be anxious. It's saying, don't worry. Over the years, I've reminded more people than I can count who were usually in the hospital. Or maybe they were aged at home or aged in a nursing home. And they're inclined to be worriers. Especially those people facing surgery. They're lying in bed. They're thinking about their surgery the next day. And you can just see the anxiety, the concern, the worry. And I would tell them again and again, if worrying gets you one bit better, one bit quicker, then worry. Hear that again. If worry gets you one bit better, one bit quicker, then worry. But we realize worry, being anxious, doesn't get us better. When we find our anxiousness arising, do what he says here. In prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. That's St. Paul's way of saying that's the time to pray. To bring all of our cares and all of our needs to our Savior. Because whatever comes, we have his promise that it will work out for good. All things work together for good. And so as we present our request to God, know this, God hears, God answers. So talk to him, pray to him, bring your pleas to him, your petitions. Do your begging, do your beseeching, and know this, you are his child, special to him, so special that he was willing to come and die for you and for me. Goes out to close these words from Philippians, the peace of our God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That peace that passes all understanding, that peace of forgiveness, that peace of knowing we're no longer at odds with our God, we're one with our God by grace through faith. So, people of Trinity, people of God, children of God, as we come into this new church year, may the Lord Jesus, as he looks at our hearts, see in you and in me, kind of like at Thanksgiving, an attitude of gratitude. An attitude that says, this year I'm going to be here worshiping and praising and thanking my Savior. And there's a lot of opportunities to worship our Savior coming up in December. I know as a worship leader and planner, I was looking at, 10 different services. And I thought about this church year coming, some 70 services this year. Great opportunities to worship our King. Great opportunities to be like St. Paul of old. As we come into this new church year, may the Word of God encourage us to keep Thanksgiving going, an attitude of gratitude. In closing, hear those words of Philippians again. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.